The Gospel reading from Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Earlier this year, my cousin Kevin put a cache of old Christmas photos on Facebook from holidays gone past in the home of my great Aunt Mary. Seeing the photos brought me a sudden sense of peace and joy, as Aunt Mary's house up in Arkansas was such a place of joy and peace for generations of us in our family. Aunt Mary's house was a place where we all went when we needed a little hope, encouragement, recuperation, and good Southern cooking. There was nothing like her hotcakes. Here in Texas, we had pancakes. Aunt Mary had hotcakes. And I was about 30 when I finally figured out they were the same thing. But they always tasted so much better at Aunt Mary's. Aunt Mary's was also where anyone went who was lost, forlorn, abandoned, bereaved, or pregnant and unmarried. When Aunt Mary died at age 95, I had the honor of speaking at her funeral in her little Country Methodist Church. Even Methodists can be saved. I said at the funeral that when I thought of Aunt Mary, a quote from another great state of Arkansas matriarch, Maya Angelou, came to mind. "They won't always remember what you said, and they won't even always remember what you did, but they will always remember how it is that you made them feel." Aunt Mary always made us feel so very loved and so cared for and so full of courage. And Christmas is all about making us feel these things. Loved, cared for, and full of courage. And kinfolk have been gathering to give that gift to one another ever since the very first Christmas. We're in Luke 1. Another Mary is herself pregnant and unmarried, and she's gone to stay with her kinfolk, Zechariah, and his wife, Elizabeth, who is also expecting a child in her old age. Together, the two women, one young and one old, love and care for one another in a beautiful and literally life-giving way. And I think it is important that we ask ourselves this morning why it is that Luke tells us this story. Why begin his gospel in this way? What is he trying to say about kinship and connection and caretaking? What's he saying about church and community and about love? And between the lines, what is he saying might have happened to Mary had she not found all of these things in Elizabeth's home? Where would Mary have been without Elizabeth? Mary is unmarried and with child, and the punishment for that is severe judgment. But Mary doesn't find judgment in Elizabeth's home. Instead, what she finds is what we found at Aunt Mary's: unconditional love and care. Feminist theologians tell us Luke is painting a picture here, that he is giving us in Elizabeth and Mary a vision for what they call an ethic of care. Ethic of care is a moral way of seeing things through the lens of loving kindness and compassion and carefulness with one another. It is a call by Luke to be a community of kindness, love, compassion, and care. This is church in Luke's mind. It is family, and it is true kindredness. Mary found love and kindness in her kindred, Elizabeth. And though the Bible doesn't remember much of what Elizabeth said to Mary, it does remember the blessing she gave her. Elizabeth saw in Mary the motherhood of God. She saw that she was God's bearer in this world, and she spoke it. She preached it. The first Christian preacher was a woman. And when Elizabeth preached, people listened. Read the Bible and you'll see that even the men listened. And Mary listened. Everyone listened to Elizabeth because the Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, she had a tremendous moral voice and vision. Last week, one of my favorite authors, Anne Rice, passed away. Along with her vampire novels, she also wrote a truly brilliant set of books about the life of Jesus. And the moral voice and vision of the women who raised him. In her book, Out of Egypt, Rice imagines Jesus visiting Elizabeth and Zechariah later on when Jesus is a budding teenager, just back from exile in Egypt. There is a question about Elizabeth's son, John, going out into the wilderness rather than going to the temple where his father is still a priest. Elizabeth is firm. John wants to be in the wilderness, and Elizabeth supports him strongly. And Jesus says in the novel, He's never heard a woman speak with such authority. When her unorthodox parenting is then called into question by a man in the story, Elizabeth stands up not only for John, but also for herself. She says, "You don't speak to a woman when you speak to me. You speak to Sarah of old, to Hannah of old." So it was not only Elizabeth, but also Sarah and Hannah and the Holy Spirit who were speaking to Mary when she told her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." It is Sarah and Hannah and Elizabeth and the Holy Spirit who are still speaking to us today, anytime kindred gather. And one generation sees God's goodness being born in the next and blesses it with joy and with love and with courage and with care and all of those other things generations of my family always found at Aunt Mary's. Of course, I know not everyone has an Aunt Mary. Not everyone has family they can truly trust. But the kind of kindredness I'm talking about is not based just on biological family. The kindredness I am talking about is the kind of kindredness Emily Davis was speaking of a couple of weeks ago when she spoke about the kingdom of God. There is this kindredness of community and church and care that Luke is speaking of. It's the kindredness found not only in families, but wherever it is that the Holy Spirit ties and binds and blesses. Bryan Stevenson gives a good example of this in a story about an encounter he had with Miss Rosa Parks and another woman named Ms. Carr. Stevenson is the founder of the Equal Justice Initiative and the National Memorial for Peace and Justice, known as the Lynching Memorial in Montgomery, Alabama. It was the Equal Justice Initiative that was instrumental in helping our community memorialize the lynching of Mr. Fred Rouse here in Fort Worth just last week. In the early days of the Equal Justice Initiative, Stevenson says he was invited to visit with Mrs. Carr and Ms. Parks. He was invited over and for 2 hours sat and had the privilege of listening to the women talk and laugh and tell stories, after which Mrs. Parks, the civil rights icon, turned and said, "Now, Brian, tell me who you are and what are you doing?" "Yes, ma'am," he said. Then he began to talk about the Equal Justice Initiative and what they were trying to do to help people on death row, to stop the death penalty, improve prison conditions, reduce excessive punishment, free the wrongly convicted, end unfair sentences in criminal cases, stop racial bias in criminal justice, educate people about racial history and the need for racial justice, stop abuse of power everywhere and do something about poverty and hopelessness that dominates poor communities. Finally, he stopped, realizing he had gone on a little excessively. Mrs. Parks leaned back, smiling. "Ooh, honey," she said, "all that's going to make you tired, tired, tired." They all laughed, and Stevenson said he looked down a little embarrassed. And then Ms. Carr leaned forward and put her finger in his face and talked to him, he said, just like his grandmother used to talk to him, saying, "That's why you've got to be brave, brave, brave." Stevenson said all three nodded in silent agreement for just a little while. He said then, "They made me feel like a young prince." It's a season for kindredness of all kinds. Faithful friends who are dear to us are gathering near to us. And on Facebook, I've seen lots of mothers and grandmothers and god-grandmothers and aunts and aunties gathering the young children to bake Christmas cookies in the kitchen. Old family recipes are being pulled out and stories are being shared. And laughter is heard in the house and memories are being made. Between one generation and the next, something special is happening. No, they won't always remember what you said, but they will always remember how it is that you made them feel. And the peace and the joy and the love and the bravery, 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 and all of that wisdom and authority of old shall be shared. And in the power and the care of the Spirit that connects and binds us, our children and our grandchildren and somebody else's grandchild too shall listen and hear and believe that they themselves are bearers of God's goodness too. And so then we'll say with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and my Aunt Mary also, and Elizabeth, and Sarah, and Hannah, and you and me, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and surely from now on, all generations have called me blessed." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said,